I wonder, I'll ask you this, have you been set free? Anybody here been set free? Amen. You ever think about what it'd be like to be in prison? I've thought about it a lot, Brother Darren, I have. I mean, some of these cases and some of the things we worked on, I told the Sunday school class and talking to them a little bit about things. And I remember, you know, testifying in court cases, some people getting 40 years, life sentences and different things. And I tell you, that left an impact on me thinking about, man, these people may never, ever get out of prison. That's where they're going to be the rest of their life. You know, that's serious business. You don't have to raise your hand. Anybody here been in prison? First 12 years of my life, I was in prison. Twelve-year sentence. I got set free, though. Amen. How long was your sentence? Think about it. Until you do something, you're confined. Nobody's born saved. You have to do something. You have to accept Jesus Christ. I do understand and know the age of accountability, but I tell you, you're born lost. You're born confined. You're born needing to be set free. Isn't that something? You don't do something about that, that'll lay on your heart, that'll stay with you forever. I thinking about this too, the title this morning is Real Freedom, Real Freedom. If you want to, you can go ahead and turn to John chapter number 8, if you'd like to. I'm kind of be a few places, don't tend to stay locked down too much. Yeah, you think about some of these things here. I've thought about people in prison and jail. You know, there's some people do something, maybe get in a mess and what have you before they know the Lord. But then maybe in prison, throughout prison ministries, I believe in the prison ministry also, I do. I know, have dear friends that do that. They go into the prisons and preach to people. You know, there's people in prison that's been set free. Isn't that something to think about? This world is different than what we have with God. It's at enmity with God. And I think about the Apostle Paul, and he spent a lot of his life in prison, but he was one of the most free people you'd ever meet. He'd been set free. He knew his Savior. He knows his Redeemer. He was set free. Even though he lived a physical life, a lot of times of confinement, you can be set free in your heart and in your spirit. We're going to look at some of that this morning. This situation here in John chapter number 8, I'm going to look at 8:34 to get us started. We'll read that and pray, and then we'll get into the message this morning. Could be a lot to cover, so I'm going to skim over a lot of that, not read a lot of that chapter. And if you're familiar with it, it'll come back to your mind. Maybe you remember the woman that was taken in adultery in the very act. And the Pharisees picked her up and run her in and run her before Jesus and everything and was trying to get him caught up in his words, see how he was going to deal with that. Was he going to go by the way of the law that they were used to, or is he going to do it some other way? But the Lord, of course, knew exactly what they were going to do, knew what they were about. And always, he's always a step ahead. I'm thankful he's a step ahead in my life. I need that. I need somebody to go out in front of me, to lead my way. But John 8:34, it says this, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning just so thankful for the freedom that we have in you, the real freedom that you provide and give to us, God. I thank you for that. Lord, it's a blessing to be able to proclaim that this morning, to offer that, to share that with people who are willing to listen, to take advantage of it, to appreciate it, to accept it, and understand that it only comes by way of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for all the work that he's done in my life, the work that he did on the cross, the work that he completed. And then just ask that we believe it, turn from our ways, turn from our wicked ways, live in his ways, so we can actually be set free, not be bound, not living a life of bondage, Lord, but you have created a way that we can be set free no matter what the world does, no matter what is going on around us, God, we can be free in the spirit of consciousness that we have, liberty of consciousness, God, that we have in you, in our soul, eternal life, God, all that you've provided. God, I pray for the saved person this morning that's living bound. It doesn't have to be that way. We can live free, God, and I thank you for that. I pray for the lost person this morning, God, that has not yet come to know you, that's not living that free life, doesn't know what that life is about at all, doesn't understand that at all. But God, I pray for them this morning that today could be their day. Lord, I thank you for the freedoms that we have in our country, those willing to stand for it, to fight for it, that we could have a freedom life. Lord, give me liberty or give me death is the way it's been said in history, God. God, I thank you for the liberty that we have in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. It's a lot to look at here. If you go through and read these, the first part of this chapter, which I'm not going to, I've read over it a few times in preparation and be a lot to read. And when I get reading, I get tongue-tied and I get backwards and all that kind of stuff. But you can read it and understand where they're coming from. The Pharisees and Sadducees were always looking for a situation, as we understand and know, to try to get Jesus caught in his words, thinking about the law and thinking about grace and trying to understand the difference. You know, that's a hard thing to grasp sometimes when you think about the law, think about messing up and trying to follow the letter of the law, the speed limit's 55, don't go 56, all those little things. You know, it's easy to try to follow that and maybe feel accomplished in that, but in our salvation, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Our salvation is by grace through faith. And that's what Jesus came to teach, and that's what he taught. But he's teaching the Pharisees here, the group that was listening here, he was teaching them that whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Anybody here ever sin? That would mean you're the servant of sin. You and I were made as people to be servants. Did you know that? Now, let's don't get it backwards and think that we, for some reason, think we were made to be served. We're not. You and I were made to be servants. We're built that way. We're designed that way to believe in something, have faith, or put faith in something. You and I are made to serve. And so what you see, the way this starts out here, I'll abbreviate this a little bit. This woman was taken in adultery, and again, I think it was just a fast and a furious situation how they did it. And when you think about adultery, how many people would it take to be taken in adultery? Two? Where's the other one? You know, I stop and I look at that, but you got to remember who you're dealing with. Here's the thing. Let's stop and look at this real quick. Do we think for a second that they were really trying to pass judgment on this woman? Do you think that was their end result, that they, Brother Dale, wanted to see her stoned? Or do you think they were wanting to see what Jesus was going to do? And this was the example that they could use, Brother Raymond. It's like, they don't know this woman probably. But how did they know she was taken in the very act? Maybe they knew the reputation of the situation, knew where to go, where to find him. Hey, we'll use this as a situation. The end result was to try to get Jesus trapped in his words. That was the end result. It just ended up this was the situation that they used. That's what was available at this time. No different in today's world. The devil will use whatever is around you to cause you problems. And that's just how he works. And taken in adultery and brought her in. And it's important to understand why they were doing what they were doing. And Jesus came to give truth that liberates. That's what I want us to see in these verses here. John again, 8:34 says, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now, when you slow down and look at things just a little bit, the word servant, that means, I just have 2 points this morning. One, servant, and the second one is set free. Number one, servant, that's a state of subjection. That means you're in subjection to something. We see that a lot. We're subjection to the higher power. But what you obey is what you are subject to. Now, sin is a very attaching thing that once you get in it, it can be hard to get out of it. And the only way you can get out of it is to be set free by Jesus. You can't do it yourself. We don't have the internal ability to not sin. There has to be an outside effect that helps us get past that, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. So you can be the servant of sin, or you can be the servant of Jesus Christ. That's the options that we have. Now you look at a couple of things here. Again, we were created and designed to serve. Now, let's look at a few ways of service here. There's a lot of people, I'll say many people, serve themselves. That's the easy thing to do. Be a self-serving person. You know, you say that sounds bad or what have you, but really a lot of times when you think things out, if you're not careful, you'll have the mindset to think things through what might benefit you the most. Whatever the situation might be, you have a situation and you're working through it and dealing with it, and you think, well, this, if it falls this way, and if I can work it this way, this would benefit me. That's being self-serving. And, you know, on the other side, too, you have people who are servants of the devil. There's some wicked people out there. There's people who worship the devil. That's who they serve. That's what they follow. They follow whatever they think that the devil would have them to do. There's a lot of that going on. I'd say a lot more probably self-service than anything. But then there's some that'll actually serve Christ, that want to serve Him. There's some that want to give their life to Him and follow Him, and that's what Jesus is teaching here. Now, when this lady was caught in this act and brought forth and what have you, well, the way that He dealt with that is He talked to those people, those older ones, they were the ones who stepped out first. He said, those without sin first cast the stone. Those that haven't done anything wrong, you throw the first stone if you want her stoned. Then He knelt down and He started writing in the sand. Well, that's eye-opening. You know, it's easy if we know somebody, something's going on with somebody, and you know, people know about that, and it's like, hey, let's divert all the attention to that. Let's talk about that person, their problems, their sin, what they have going on in their life, and everybody can get on board with that to a degree because everybody's looking at them. Jesus knew a way. See, here's the thing. Jesus knows everything. Not just what you're doing, He knows what you're thinking, He knows what your intent is. And you talk about a way of diverting attention. Jesus didn't argue them, He didn't say a word. He knelt down and He started writing. He started writing something in the sand. No, he bent down and He started writing. Now who knows what He wrote? What would He write about you this week? If you were in this situation, what would Jesus be writing about you? What would Jesus write about you that you'd want everybody in this church house to know that you was involved with this week? Think about it like that. Boy, I don't want to face that. You see, the older ones, it's what it said. It's starting with the older ones. The older ones left first. Maybe they caught on. Maybe they caught on quicker. So I don't want to see this. I don't want any part of this. Think about the sin that they had been involved with, that they had not taken care of. You know something that dawned on me? Brother Raymond, if you have sin in your life, you ask Jesus to forgive you. He's faithful and just to forgive you, right? And then what happens? It goes into a sea of forgetfulness, right? I mean, is that not what the Bible teaches? Thank God for the sea of forgetfulness. That's where I want all my problems to go. That's where I want all of my shortcomings to go. To be remembered against you no more. Gone. Gone. Now, Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet. I understand that. But I want you to realize something here. When He bent down and started writing these things down and putting this in the sand, they started seeing what He was writing. I think, whoa, I don't want anybody to know this. Here's the thing. Evidently, that had not been confessed and taken care of, because if Jesus was holding that against them, evidently they hadn't received forgiveness for it, right? Because Jesus is not your accuser, right? If you've asked for forgiveness. This religious crowd that these folks were dealing with, you talk about a wicked group. These people were doing the same things that they were stoning people for, but other people didn't know about it. And that's something, how that works. You know, I've thought about this. You know, I've heard of situations in life, and not being negative in any stretch, Sometimes the younger ones catch the brunt of things sometimes because the older ones know about it. Think about it. You see me come up from a young person, those who are older than me, you see me come up and all those kind of things, my shortcomings, my mistakes. And it's jokingly now, when I was younger, I used to have a big boom box in my car. That was a thing to do when you was in high school. I'll just go ahead and I'm going to tell myself. That's what I had in my car, and said, boom, 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 and you could hear me coming, you know. So my buddy, Brother Tommy Lawrence, every time I see Brother Tommy, that's the one thing he asked about me, coming up the driveway to come see Aaron and what have you and all that kind of stuff. And so I'd come up there and have my boombox going, all that, you know, thank God it ain't like that anymore and all that kind of good stuff. But I remember him saying that. But you know what I have grown to learn? I wasn't there when these older ones were coming up, so I don't know what your shortcomings are, but guess what? You've got them. They were there too. Just because I don't know it, that doesn't matter. We see things with people in our lives and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what you was into when you was young, and it don't matter, but guess what? God knows. God knows. We're none without sin is the point I'm getting at here, and that's what Jesus was bringing out to these Pharisees. It was so easy for them to try to pass the law and judgment on this woman. Now what you'll see being said of her there at the end, the way that that portion played out, is he told her as they were one by one going out and the stones were hitting the ground. Did you know there was only one person in that place that could have stoned her rightfully? Did you know that? I never thought about this until this morning. You know the one person that could have stoned her? You know who that is? Jesus himself. Whoever's without sin first cast the stone. That would have been only Jesus. Where's thine accusers? There are none here. Neither do I condemn thee. That's what Jesus said. He's the one who had the power to forgive. But you know what he told her? Here's the ticket. I want us to grasp this. If we miss this, we miss the whole thing. He told her to go and keep on sinning and keep on asking for forgiveness, and everything will wash out in the end. It's not what he said, is it? Go and sin no more. I don't think people realize, maybe in the moment, how confining sin really is. When a person is confounded and bound in sin, they're stuck in it. They're the servant of sin until they're willing to get out of it. You say, well, how do I get out of it? You repent what you're doing, you stop that, you make a 180 turn, and you go the other direction. And you see, this is where it can kind of get tricky, because people say, you're telling me that I can be perfect. I'm not. I know you're going to mess up. I know you're going to make mistakes, but if you continue in the same sin that you need to get out of, that's not a mistake, that's a choice. You have a choice to get out of it or not. That's what the Bible teaches. After we know Christ, there's supposed to be a change. You say, no, I don't do that anymore. This is how I live my life. Yeah, mistakes are going to happen. I understand that. And God is faithful and just to forgive, but he's saying if you want to be set free, you can be. You just follow Jesus after that. You say, man, you make that sound simple. I'm not saying it's simple, but that's how it works. You know, you can decide in your heart what you want to do. I look at being a servant. A couple of things that I want us to look at, how we can serve people and how we do. We're designed to serve. We have hands, we have feet, we have a mouth. You got to watch that mouth. That can be a two-edged sword right there. But you think about those things that carry out. Our feet is what takes us places. It makes us mobile. We're designed to carry things out. Our hands, you know, hands in the Bible is a symbol of service. It's a symbol of doing something. It's a symbol of taking something out. How we proclaim things by the foolishness of preaching is how the Lord chose to share the gospel with other people. You take it out. That's how it goes. You see, we're designed to do that. Something else that I also see, though, too, is we have other things. We have ears and eyes and a nose. You know what those things do? They that takes things in. It consumes things. Now, I'll say this here. Be careful where you go. Be careful what you do. Be careful what you take in. That's what I believe will make you the servant of sin faster than anything else. You know how easy it is to be consumed with things? What you take in, everything that you see, what you listen to, what you hear, what you see, places you go. That really says a lot about the life that we're living. You know, people can say this too. You can say, well, you know, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't go these places, but you know, if you're talking about people and running people down, that's just as bad. There's all kinds of different things you can get caught up in. What we can do, and if we're not careful, what we'll do is say, well, I don't do this. But it's what you are doing that's holding you back. Until you're willing to do something about whatever that is, the Lord will identify that to you and magnify that to you until you identify what that is. You're a servant of sin. You're staying in that. You're staying in that cycle. You see, He came to set us free from that. Freedom, what does that mean? Real freedom. Freedom is a state of exemption from the power or control of another. Anybody here bound in something that you want to be unbound by? Honestly, think about that. Everybody don't know your life. Everybody don't know what you're going through, what you're dealing with, what you're potentially bound by. There's things, I'll use this as an example. I've probably used it before, but I used to smoke years ago, and I wanted to quit so bad that it was more psychological than a physical need. It was something I thought I had to do just because I'd done it so long. And it took me a lot to try to get past that. I've mentioned it before. Drive down the road, throw a pack of cigarettes out the window, and say, I'm not doing this anymore. And get in Boone, get to town, get next to the next door, and buy another pack and keep it going. And hate myself the whole time. I mean, literally, I'd get so mad at myself. I'd pray, God, I don't want to do this anymore. How symbolic of sin is that? Whatever it is, you say, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. This is the one thing that keeps me from being who I'm supposed to be for you. Jesus says, I will set you free from that if you will let me. If you'll choose me over whatever that is, you're set free. You see, sin, that's how sin works. Sin will get you in the place you try to justify it, you try to minimize it, you try to make it all right. But if you are truly a born-again Christian, if you're truly saved, you will be miserable until you break away from that. I don't want you to be miserable. You think about revival, you think about things that we talk about, want to be a help to other people, want to be a witness to other people, until you deal with whatever that is, you're never going to be who God created you to be for Him. The world will tell you, you just be who you are. You be you. You do you, I think is how a lot of times it's said. But here's the thing. They're missing the part. You be who God created you to be for Him. That's what the Bible teaches us. When it says, and go and sin no more, He's giving a new direction. Romans 6:13, it says this, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. When I said we were built to serve, that's exactly how we were designed. Brother Allen, the Bible says instruments. An instrument is a tool that by which work is performed. When Sister Alice is playing the piano, that's a tool that music is performed. If I try to play that piano like Sister Kathy, my mom, Sister Alice, and other people in here, it's not going to sound like it does when they play it. It's not going to sound that way. When you try to take control of your life and you don't give it to God, your life is not going to sound like it's supposed to sound. When we live our lives that way, we're not instruments unto God. And that's what He's teaching us here. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. He's saying break away from that. A lot about that in Romans. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. He's talking about being alive. Remember that sentence I was talking about? It's talking about being set free. Man, everybody's quiet this morning. Are we free or are we bound? Amen. This is still good. I tell you, I promise you this is good. It's out of the Word of God. I promise you it's good. It helps me. When I'm dealing with things in my life and I feel like I'm being maybe carrying some burdens or trying to feel, or maybe feel like the load is heavy and figuring out things in my life, and I go to start searching my soul and searching my heart. And when the Lord says, Jason, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Brother Curtis, I'm free. Set free. I know everybody's not going to be happy and all those kind of things. I know things are going to happen in life that are binding and what have you like that. But if you do business with God and you open your heart to God and He looks in your heart and whatever's in there, you allow Him to get out of there, you're free. You can be happy regardless what's going on around you. I've learned something, and it's going to sound very generic maybe, but I want you to really think about this. You have to be who God created you to be regardless of what anybody else around you is doing. If people are doing things, people are saying things, acting a certain way, you are still bound to respond the way God would have you to respond. You see, that's where I find freedom. That's where I feel free. That's where I know if I'm following God and not worrying about all these other things, then I have freedom. If my heart's right with God, I'm free. I find so much consolation in that. Again, being an instrument or being a tool, again, being set free. 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You say, okay, now, it's important that you don't have all this idle time. You know, people have habits or hobbies and all that kind of stuff. But if you say, if I give up all these things that I used to do, how am I going to spend my time? You need to spend your time doing what God wants you to do. You know how crazy that sounds? But it's the truth. You know, it's not enough for a Christian to just not do bad things. You are designed, you and I are designed to serve and do something. You say, well, what do I spend my time doing? If I'm not doing the old hobbies that I used to do, what am I going to do? The things that God wants you to do. The time of study that you're supposed to spend, the time in witnessing, the time, again, outreaching people, that's what we're supposed to do. On purpose. Deliberately trying to win people to Christ. It says to glorify. That means to praise. That means to glorify God in your body. First is what it says. Being healthy, living a healthy life, not only physically, but it also says in your spirit. Taking care of our spirit. And again, it says both are God's. It's all His. He created it. Remember, we've talked in recent weeks about creating something. If I went to create something, Brother Patrick, it would be to serve a purpose. I don't just create something for nothing. You create it to serve a purpose. I need this to perform this task. And I want us to know when God created you, that's exactly what He did. He created every one of us for a purpose, and it's His purpose. The sooner you can find out what His purpose is for you in your life, the better. I wish I'd started years ago. I don't know anybody that has surrendered their life to God and said, I wish I'd have waited a little bit longer. Everybody I've ever heard give testimony said, I wish I would have done this sooner. How important it is that our young people grasp this and understand this. But to praise God and to magnify Him and honor Him in worship. Finally, again here, we see set free, not only set free, but set free to serve. I look at our church and I think about us. We have so much potential. Our young people, people willing to do things, older ones in the church, I mean, just so much talent. I think about it, you say, well, Bible school's over. Bible school's never over until the Lord comes back. We're always either just getting over or preparing for the next one. And I tell you, it is so important that we get on fire for what we're doing for God, what we're doing for Him, the purpose behind it. If we really have a burden about doing things, it will show. We're set free to serve. Galatians 5:13, it says, for brethren, you have been called into liberty. You're set free. This person is set free. You think about it. Again, I use this as an example. Somebody that has been set free from prison, I think the last thing truly that they would want is to go back to that place. If you've actually been set free, whatever that you've been bound in, if you've been set free, the last thing you'd want to do is turn around and get bound in it again, right? Don't you want to get away from that, get turned from that? Be on the positive side of things. For brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. That means don't fall back in old ways. Don't go back into old ways and old things, but by love serve one another. You know, that's how you break a cycle of servitude, being confined and being bound. You break that and you start serving God. That's how you break that cycle. That's when a change takes place. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what he teaches here. Again, liberty, that's freedom, being free from restraint and not giving an occasion to sin and falling back into the flesh and doing old things, but to serve and to work for God. I tell you, I've been studying along those lines a lot, and just really, you think about it like this. I'm closing. I look at it this way a whole lot. I don't know how much time we're going to have left on this earth. I think you can see things happening, going on. Things feel different now than they did a few years ago even. Things feel real different. I believe, again, it would be called a sign of the times, the way the preaching that I've heard and the way I've heard it said. But I tell you, either we grasp that and we do something about it, or time is gone and it's too late. I'm talking to the saved person. It's important that we understand and realize what real freedom is, and how do you show appreciation for real freedom? You turn and you serve your new master. You serve the Lord. You live your life for Him. I'm going to close right there. I'll ask the ladies, if they will, to come to the instruments. If you'd like to stand with me for just a minute.